Dave and Darren with another Top 5 Things podcast. Hey, you made it. Oh,
this is a good one.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I'm excited to hear it. It's a review of what we got done on our morning show, which you can hear every morning live on Planet 93.9.
Isn't that something?
Or online, planet939.com, or on the mobile app. Lots of ways to enjoy it live.
What a world.
This is a condensed version. These are the top five things that we got done. Where do we want to start?
How about number one?
Number one.
Tuesday, June the 7th, we are 201 days away from Christmas. I bring this up because Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas Is You is in the headlines this morning.
Yeah, I saw that headline. I didn't read the story. She's in some sort of trouble, or someone's got some sort of problem.
In 1989, Andy Stone wrote a song called All I Want for Christmas Is You.
Uh-huh.
And he released it with his band, Vince Vance and the Valiants. It
performed Vivian Vance?
Not Vivian Vance.
It was a tribute, a loving tribute to Vivian Vance, though.
Every show would end with William Frawley dragging the lead singer off the stage by the back of the head. Come here, you! It did reasonably well, it says here, throughout the 90s.
Uh-huh.
And even became a favorite of Kelly Clarkson, who recorded a cover of that version of a song called All I Want for Christmas Is You.
Yeah.
Let me give you a little taste of this.
Okay.
All I Want because for Christmas Is You. This was done in 1989.
And Mariah Carey was 94.
Is absolutely correct.
Yeah.
Vince Vance and the Valiants. I got a feeling this is going to be this is going to be rough. All I Want for Christmas
now
Is
this
You.
Is,
they claim this is the original, Darren.
Okay, this is their version of it.
Well, it's not their version. It's just a song that has the same name, right? Like, Metallica has a song called One, and U2 has a song called
yes,
One.
Different songs.
They are very different songs, exactly.
Okay.
All right, well, I'm having trouble pulling it up, but it just, trust me when
see
I tell
that,
you.
I think that proves your point.
It sounds nothing like the Mariah Carey version.
Oh, you've already heard it.
What am I doing wrong here? Why won't this? Yeah, I'm not getting anything.
Is this Kelly Clarkson singing it, or it's the Vince Vaughn that's doing it?
It's not Vince Vaughn.
And Prince Valiant.
No, Vince Vance and the Valiants. Oh, I see what the problem is here. All right, here we go. Here, enjoy now. This is All I Want for Christmas Is You, a song recorded and released in 1989.
So I think
I think I
got a fix on it.
That sounds nothing like the Mariah Carey.
Thanks
song.
For reminding me that we got to put up with Christmas in 6 months.
201 days away. Well, on 201 days, the Christmas music will be over. Christmas music will be here much sooner than that. So it sounds nothing like the Mariah Carey
okay,
song.
Okay, so what's the complaint?
Well, the complaint is, where's my money?
Oh.
They're suing Mariah Carey now. For $20 million in damages.
Okay. I don't think she has to sweat this one.
You don't think? Well, it's quite a moneymaker for her.
Yeah.
So it would suck if she ended up having to fork over a portion of the money she makes every year. Or, God forbid, had to go back and pay all the money she's made in the last 30 years off of this tune. All I Want for Christmas Is You. I don't care about the presents.
How could anyone ever come up with that title?
Well, that's the thing. They point out here that there are dozens of songs that have that title. The lead singer in the song I just played for you says, "All that I want can't be found underneath the Christmas tree." And Mariah says, "I don't care about the presents underneath the Christmas tree."
Well, if you're writing a Christmas song and you talk about presents under a tree, it's
okay.
There's only so much you can do.
All right. In the Vince Valiant version, there's a lyric that says, "You are my dream come true." And Mariah says, "Make my wish come true."
Well, now this is just getting spooky.
Mm-hmm. At one point, Mariah Carey says, "Santa, won't you bring me the one I really need?" And in this version, they say, "Santa can't bring me what I need."
They're asking for Santa to start kidnapping people?
Andy Stone now suing because he's saying the similarities cannot be a coincidence.
Santa Claus is holding people against their will?
Oh, yeah, that's a big part of what he does. How do you think he affords all the toys? That's blood money to put those Legos together.
Ransom money.
Suing Mariah Carey and her co-writer, Walter Afanasieff, and Sony Music, all for copyright infringement, unjust enrichment, and more. The lawsuit was filed in the Louisiana Eastern District, claims Mariah Carey and company created their song to exploit the popularity and unique style of the original and to capitalize on his goodwill and unique talent in an effort to obtain commercial advantage. I'd like $20 million in damages, please.
Yeah, I think she's probably sleeping just fine.
Yeah, she's got... she can pay her lawyers with a fraction of the money she made just last year from All I Want for Christmas Is You. It's the last Christmas classic, right? It's the last song entered into the pantheon.
Mm-hmm.
Of Christmas classics.
Yeah, so she notices that like in October, but then all of a sudden the direct deposits start a real bump. That last quarter of the year,
uh-huh.
Oh, that's big.
If Vince Vance and the Valiants sounds familiar, they had another hit song in 1980.
Well, look at them.
And it was called. It was a reimagining of a Beach Boys song.
Mm.
Remember the song? Well, I guess originally it was done by the Regents, Barbara Ann.
Mm-hmm.
Vince Vance and the Valiants in 1980 are the ones who did the song Bomb, 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 Iran.
Okay, marvelous.
Those are my hits. Bomb, Iran, and All I Want for Christmas Is You. And it occurs to me just now that maybe I'm getting ripped off by this Mariah Carey. Why wouldn't you sue in 1994?
And then they got sued by Ronald Reagan. He wanted songwriting credits.
It's my idea.
It's my idea. We can't catch a break.
It's just, I'm just trying to write some songs and I spend more time in court than I do on stage. This is ridiculous. Every time I have a hit, I end up getting served with papers.
Someone wants a piece of my pie. Hey, that's not bad.
I mean,
I should write that down. And then, of course, I'll get sued by Big Pie.
All the money that you made off of this song, that's undeserved profits that you should not have made because you ripped me off. This is going to get thrown out.
You wouldn't think it's going to last
immediately. Long. They say that over the course of all the years it's been out, the song has made like close to $100 million in royalties.
Oh, easy.
They think it makes like $4 to $5 million a year. Every December, she gets a check for at least $1 million for All I Want for Christmas Is You. Now,
that's a sweet little Christmas club she's got.
Nice little bonus. Nice little bonus. I'll take it.
I think I'm going to treat the twins.
Going to McDonald's and going to order something off that Mariah menu. And yeah, there's money for soft serve. Sure. I don't, again, understand how, if you felt this way all this time, you're just now getting around to suing her. The backbone of the lawsuit could face issues because there are 177 different copyrighted songs that all have the title All I Want for Christmas Is You, including dozens that were written before Vince Vance and the Valiants did their version.
Get in line.
Song titles are not entitled to copyright protection. You cannot copyright a title. If I wanted to write a song called Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, I could absolutely do that, and there's not a damn thing the Beatles could do about it. I might do it, too, just to prove a point.
Yeah, I don't think they're staying up at night either.
And it's going to be, the song's going to be a Christmas song all about how Santa kidnaps people whenever I order him to.
Or makes him disappear.
He can do that, too. He knows when you're sleeping. He knows when you're good. He knows where the bodies are buried.
Number two. Kind of looks like it's one of those deals where it's like, okay, today's nice, tomorrow's going to rain. Today's nice, tomorrow's going to rain.
Well, we could use it. Put a bunch of seed out in the backyard. I need
you
it
and
to,
your seed.
I need it to be.
Constantly.
I tell you, this is my life now.
It's going to rain.
Just don't mow.
Just
let it happen naturally.
But then that doesn't help the bare spots in my yard, Darren.
Oh, yeah, the seed will make its way over there.
I don't think I'm capable of letting that happen.
We had neighbors when I was growing up as a kid.
Yeah,
they
imagine that.
Yes, we had neighbors. They never. And it was a new house that they built on this little plot of land right across the street. Mm-hmm. They never put grass seed down, ever. They basically waited for the grass. It took like 25 years for them to finally have a lawn.
They just waited for invasive grass?
They just waited for invasive grass.
Wow.
They never planted one seed of grass.
Wow.
They just like, nah, the neighbor's grass will make their way over here eventually.
Why would we pay for something the neighbors are going to give us?
It's only going to take 25 years.
We'll get there.
Don't you worry.
We talked about the Mariah Carey lawsuit, how somebody who wrote a song that shares the title All I Want for Christmas Is You thinks that they're going to get $20 million.
Uh-huh.
Probably thinks that she'll just settle out of court, right? Because
I'm not settling anything.
No, I wouldn't if I were her either. Now there's this lawsuit demanding that the Top Gun sequel be pulled out of movie theaters immediately. Top Gun Maverick has had two huge weekends at the box office.
It's done very well. Mm-hmm. And what's the problem now?
The heirs of the author of a 1983 magazine article say you don't get to do a sequel because that has to go through us. This was an article called Top Guns. It was written by Ehud Yoneh, and it was about the Navy Fighter Weapons School that's called Top Gun at the Naval Air Station in Miramar, California.
And that's where the makers of the original got their idea?
Yeah, from that article.
Okay.
Paramount optioned the article about the Top Gun school out there in San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
And they used that article as the basis for the original movie, Top Gun, back in 1986. They gave this guy, Ehud Yoneh, a based-on credit in the film.
Okay.
Well, now his heirs are saying that so much time has passed that Paramount no longer owns the copyright for the article and they never should have released a sequel to the original movie. The way it works is U.S. Copyright Act allows authors to retrieve the rights to their work after 35 years.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The original author's widow and son filed a notice to reclaim the rights in 2018, which they say Paramount was well aware of. And they say the rights to that article that the Top Gun movie is based on reverted to them back in 2020. Paramount is promising to vigorously defend itself against these allegations, which they insist are without merit. But one of the lawyers representing the family says, as much as Paramount wants to pretend otherwise, they made a sequel to Top Gun after they lost their copyright to make a sequel to Top Gun.
Go ahead and let them make the movie.
Let
it come out.
We'll wait till it gets released.
Keep your powder dry.
Production on the sequel started in 2018. The lawsuit claims it was not completed until May of 2021. The film was originally scheduled for release in July of 2019, but it was delayed a year to put more work into flight sequences, and then it was delayed further because of the COVID pandemic. Paramount is saying that the movie was sufficiently completed by January 2020 before the copyright reverted back to this family. But see, that's tricky, because they're admitting, yeah, I guess they do have the copyright, but you know, the movie was done before that.
Yeah.
The lawsuit says that this family sent Paramount a cease and desist letter regarding the movie in May of this year, but Paramount still released it without obtaining a new license for the article. So the suit is seeking damages and an injunction to stop all screenings of Top Gun Maverick and any further distribution of the movie.
Pull the plug.
Right? They might have a case here, as goofy as this one sounds. Its second weekend, it made $86 million in ticket sales. Blockbusters usually in that second weekend fall a lot more than this one did. So this thing is breaking in the dough, big and bad. And yet, any minute now, it could get pulled from theaters if this family has their way. Or Paramount's going to write them a nice big check to make all of this go away.
Mm-hmm. You can have all the popcorn money. Well, I'll take it.
That's where the
you know what they're charging for popcorn? Yeah,
that's where the money is. This movie's made $300 million domestically so far, and worldwide it's made close to $600 million.
Uh-huh. So what did you end up getting? What kind of deal did you get with that Top Gun thing, you guys? Let's just say it was good and plenty.
I'm reading where, now I haven't seen the movie, and I have to imagine you haven't either, the Top Gun sequel. But I see where Kenny Loggins is bitching that they didn't let him redo the Highway to the Dangerous Zone song. He's saying, I really could have put a different spin on it. I could have really made it a more, modern song. He re-recorded Danger Zone for Top Gun, Maverick, and they said, thanks, but no thanks.
How about Footloose, then?
I'll let you have... I'm all right.
I'll let you have Footloose. Picture at this. 50% off.
Maverick's flying around up there in his jet.
Yeah.
And the gopher is now Goose. That's his wingman. Gopher, the puppet.
Uh-huh. Just listen to me.
He says, Kenny Loggins says, 6 years ago, I ran into Tom Cruise and we were both booked on Jimmy Kimmel. And I said, I know. You're doing the new Top Gun.
Don't act like you're not.
But what's the deal? Is Danger Zone a part of it? And he said to me, it wouldn't be Top Gun without Danger Zone.
That's not really an answer.
The director met with me while I was playing at the Hollywood Bowl with Michael McDonald. He wanted to see if I would try a remake of Danger Zone. And he wanted a remake of Playing with the Boys. Because now there are female pilots. So I did a duet with Butterfly Boucher, who's an Australian punk rocker, but it didn't fit the movie. It's out there streaming somewhere.
Any chance you guys would be interested in Return to Pooh Corner?
So...
Take what you want.
They originally wanted REO Speedwagon to do Danger Zone, and Kevin Cronin couldn't hit the high notes. So,
Casey?
Yeah. REO Speedwagon passed. Like, we can't do this. And Kenny Loggins said, you know what? I could do it. I bet I could sing those high notes. And the rest is history. But they don't use the remake of the song. Do they just use the original? That probably makes the most sense. Well, we should just use the original.
Kinda, we already kind of have it. Thanks, Kenny.
Hey, I did a song called Playing with the Boys and the Girls for when they're playing volleyball. That'll be great. No, you're not going to use that either?
Did he have a second song on the soundtrack?
Yeah, when they're playing volleyball.
Uh-huh.
He's got a song called Playing with the Boys.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, he's all over that soundtrack. Don't kid yourself.
Song called Grease Me Up and Let Me In.
It's a song called Don't Ask, Don't Tell. It's really a thrilling part of the movie, I think you'll find. From the original Top Gun. Well, we'll see if Top Gun is able to stay in theaters or if the lawyers are able to pull it away. Let's see here we go. Time to play. Not great. It's a bunch of, the video is a bunch of hot 80s bodies playing indoor volleyball.
Indoor volleyball?
Yeah. And he's, Kenny Loggins is just running around in a leather coat, interrupting their volleyball game.
In the movie, they played indoor volleyball?
No, in the movie, they play on the beach.
Okay.
But for the music video that was to promote the song.
Oh, okay.
For some reason, rather than use Top Gun footage.
Yeah, the lighting's all wrong.
It's just him with a bunch of California hot bodies. Who are clearly annoyed that he's ruining their volleyball game. And he's doing that thing where he's like moving his shoulders back and forth. It's like
a shimmy?
Yeah, like playing with the boys. Oh no. This looks like it's a boys versus girls volleyball
shirts
game.
Shirts and skins. I like it.
Yeah, and it doesn't look like the... Looks like the boys are taking this a little too seriously. A lot of half shirts, a lot of knee pads, a lot of short shorts. It might be the most 1980s thing of all time.
Mouthpieces.
Slap wristbands, jams, shorts, Ocean Pacific. It's very much of the time.
Number three.
Three.
The subreddit where people wonder if they're in the wrong and they ask, you know, hey, am I being the jerk here? Although they use much more colorful language. I've got one that was posted a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
And it's now been removed because Okay. Everyone just let this person have it.
So they clearly were in the wrong?
Oh, yeah.
Hey, was this wrong?
Tell me, am I wrong?
You just made it worse.
Mm-hmm. Am I a jerk for not having catering at my wedding?
So everyone bring a dish?
Just listen to this.
Is that where it goes?
You know, you know what? Honestly, I wouldn't have a problem with that.
Yeah.
If somebody invited me to a wedding and said, bring a hot dish to pass.
Yeah. It's like, oh, well, that's great. That's different.
Yeah. But
imagine, by the way, that's your wedding present.
Imagine the spread. I mean, yeah, exactly. So many choices. But yeah, you're right.
That's the gift.
I got you brisket in a crock pot.
And I shared it with everyone. And the crock pot's coming home with me.
Oh, yeah. No, that's.
Although I suppose you could do that. You could go ahead and make something in a brand new crock pot, and it's like, no, the crock pot's yours too.
Well, that's not bad.
That's a decent gift.
Gosh, Darren. Maybe that's what I'm doing from now on when I get invited to weddings. Here you go. I made my world famous chili.
I mean, I understand that you've got a nice spread for everyone, but you know, some people might like a cup of chili while they're dancing.
While they're dancing.
Well, you know. Or while you're waiting in line for the dollar dance, have a small cup of chili. It's complimentary.
There's chicken and noodles in there.
And
knock yourself out. The question is, am I a jerk for not having catering at my wedding? Now, honestly, that alone, I wouldn't say you're the jerk. They write, my fiance and I.
Yes.
Just got married 2 months ago. He's 30 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And we had our dream wedding.
It's nice.
They describe themselves as a huge Disney fan.
Oh, you mean Walt Disney?
No, not specifically Walt Disney. The whole Disney character.
We were on board with his way of thinking.
This woman and her husband skipped on catering their wedding so that they could spend money on having Mickey and Minnie Mouse show up to the reception. That's why there was no food. Because we got Mickey and Minnie here.
Who are probably starving themselves. Because, I mean, if you get booked as Mickey and Minnie at a wedding,
yeah,
aren't you kind of thinking, well, they'll have something to eat there. Should we pick something up? Should we pick something up before we get there? No, they'll have some. We'll just have something of what they're having. So they were probably cheesed off as well. At some point, we'll be able to go back in the kitchen, take our heads off, and have something to eat.
Yeah, right.
Come on,
plate of something,
a plate of anything.
The wedding was perfect, but guests didn't feel the same way. She discovered when an aunt posted on Facebook how disappointed she was with the wedding because there was no food at the reception.
No one said anything the day of.
I guess not. Quote, the cost to have both Mickey and Minnie for a good chunk of time, 30 minutes.
30 minutes?
was almost exactly what our parents allotted for our catering budget. So we scheduled an appearance during our first dance and our wedding photos, and foregoing serving food. Although, it was at Walt Disney World, and there are plenty of facilities where people could eat.
Well, yeah, but you could say that about any place you have a reception.
Long John Silver's across the street.
But there's plenty of fast food around here. Yeah, restaurants are everywhere.
I'm 28. My fiance's 30. We just got married 2 months ago.
You weren't looking at kicking in any of your money at all.
No, that money is for Mickey and Minnie. That catering money is spent.
Well, no, but this was money that was allotted by their parents.
Everything was perfect, and I mean everything. My parents and his parents helped us pay for a great chunk of the wedding so we would be debt-free, and we are so eternally grateful for that. The issue arose about a month and a half ago when my aunt started posting on Facebook about how disappointed she was with the whole ordeal, and a few guests sided with her.
My aunt's revenge tour.
I didn't care for the fact that there was not food at the wedding, and I'm going to tell everyone on the Facebook. The issue arose about a month and a half ago when my aunt started posting on Facebook about how disappointed she was with the whole ordeal, and a few guests sided with her. Background, my fiancé and I are huge Disney fans. Quit calling him your fiancé if you got married 2 months ago. My fiancé and I are both huge Disney fans. We travel to Disney World as much as we can throughout the year. Disney is such an important part, not only to us, but also our marriage.
Oh, God.
The issue with our decision to not offer catering service or bar service at our wedding due to routing the money towards having a wedding with Mickey and Minnie
for so half an hour
they could make appearances at our special day. The cost to have both Minnie and Mickey for a good chunk of time, 30 minutes.
That's not a good chunk of time.
Was almost exactly what our parents allotted for our catering budget. My parents were still very supportive of us, but everyone else is being passive aggressive about it on Facebook.
Well, yeah, Dad's like, well, you spend the money any way you want, but that's all you're getting.
To everybody asking if the guests were warned, we clearly outlined in the invitations that there would be food available at the venue. We didn't exactly spell out every restaurant's menu, but it was certainly mentioned. There were also there are also vending machines available throughout. There's vending machines.
So you said there would be food there?
Well, we said that at the venue you could get food, but, you know, we didn't come out and say we were going to offer you a meal, for crying out loud. How is that any of our business?
Gonna need to snap a Slim Jim.
Mm-hmm. It costs $2,750 per 30-minute session with Mickey and Minnie.
Good Lord, I need to get in that business.
Uh-huh. The two Disney characters also, she says, joined my husband and I as well as our photographer for a private lunch. Oh, so you had lunch and Mickey and Minnie had lunch. But Aunt Linda gets nothing.
They also joined us at the honeymoon.
And they showed us they showed some moves
on our wedding night.
I call this one the Sorcerer's Apprentice. Grab the broom. Grab it. Grab it.
That's no broom.
People, as you can imagine, let this bride have it. Somebody's saying here, don't host a party if you can't take care of your guests. Another one saying, look, I love Disney, but damn, you're rude. Someone else saying, if meeting two random people dressed in Disney costumes was so important to you, why did you have a wedding with guests? This is the social contract, someone says here, people. You can have whatever kind of wedding you want, but your guests get to gossip about it as much as they want. You give them Mickey and Minnie instead of food, and you're shocked they have opinions. Someone else chiming in here. Imagine sitting at a table with no food, watching two weirdos in costumes pose for pictures with Mickey and Minnie Mouse. And another one says, if you hire Mickey and Minnie Mouse for your wedding, you should be legally obligated to have them represent you in the divorce. Your Honor, he wants custody every other weekend. Yeah, it got so bad and so one-sided that the moderators had to remove the post, which very rarely happens, where it's just so clearly that you're in the wrong. And the thing is, too, if you're doing this at Disney, that's a destination wedding. These people had to fly to Disney World to watch you do this nonsense. And you tell them there's vending machines?
Oh, yeah.
So when you have your private lunch with Mickey and Minnie, do they have their heads on or off? They're probably just wandering around while you eat, right? You get a meal, and then Mickey and Minnie are just kind of salivating on the inside of those mascot heads because they're starving to death.
Dying from the glue fumes.
When we went down there in March, my wife really wanted to go to the Beauty and the Beast castle.
Yeah, what goes on there?
Oh, it was so weird. It was so bizarre. And
a lot of people dressed up?
Well,
little kids.
Yeah, I'm like, all the waiters are dressed up like they're servants there at the Beast Castle. And then they make it sound like you're very lucky you're here on a day when the Beast is in the castle today. He's here today. He's almost never here, which of course he is.
And by that, we mean Walt Disney.
So then we're sitting there at the table having this meal at the Beauty and the Beast Castle. And the Beast costume guy comes walking in, right? And my wife's going out of her mind.
Huh.
And my 13-year-old says, she doesn't look at you like that.
Keeping it real.
Son of a...
You know what?
What?
You know what?
Hey, Dad, bet you wish she looked at you like that.
We're done with family vacations.
I know. What am I doing? Flew all the way down here to get insulted in front of a buffalo man in a suit coat?
Yeah.
What the hell's going on?
I knew I was pushing it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's something else. Get me the hell out of here.
Beast, 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 beast.
Number three.
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 Mom-to-be having some issues with her boyfriend. I guess they're going to have a baby.
He was my boyfriend.
She says, my partner, we're not married, but we've been together for 5 years, and I are expecting our first baby together.
Mm-hmm.
We found out it's a boy, and we're trying to decide on a nice boy's name.
Mm-hmm.
My partner suggested Max, because he really loves the name Max. I don't like the name, but I agreed to consider it, as I couldn't really think of another name.
You couldn't think of one name. Then you know what? It's going to be Max.
Why is my name Max? We could only think of one name. It's all the two of us could come up with.
We put our two heads together, and that's all we got.
That's all we got.
A three-lettered word. A three-lettered name.
That's what we got.
Well, Maxwell.
And I want to be very clear here. Max is a terrific name.
Sure, there's nothing wrong with Max at all.
No, it's a solid name.
I mean, my God, he was on Heart to Heart.
This continues. Yeah,
we named you after Heart to Heart. Max, their manservant who got pistol whipped in every episode. Max on Heart to Heart gets his clock cleaned in every episode. Some guy who all he has to do is maybe drop off some dry cleaning.
Oh, how much would you love it to hear a little kid explain that he was named after Lionel J. Standards?
That's right.
Max.
Yeah. He gets the, you know, the handle end of the revolver right behind the ear every episode.
It says here that Lionel J. Standard, the man who played Max, died of lung cancer. I find that hard to believe.
What do you want me to do, Mr. Hart? She's gorgeous.
When I'm not smoking cigars, I'm eating them.
I take care of it because their hobby is murder.
What was the name of the dog? Freeway or Speedway? Freeway.
What?
Freeway.
They had a dog?
He had a little, yeah, they had a little dog.
Oh, Max had a dog.
Well, no, it was his, no.
Mr. Hart did?
It was their dog. Freeway?
Or
was it Max's dog?
I don't remember them having a dog.
There was a dog. It was either Freeway or Speedway. I think it's Freeway.
That's our dog, Freeway. Let's see. Max was their assistant and their major domo, and the dog was called Freeway. Named Freeway because they found him wandering on the freeway.
Yeah, Max originally wanted to call him Three-Way. And the Hearts were like, cool it.
Consider yourself Zing.
The Zing of the Day.
We'll let you.
We should name the dog Three-Way.
You can have the dog, but you're not naming him Three-Way.
When the three of us met, it was murder. Am I right? You guys feeling the heat?
I remember what we did. No.
Max, cool it.
Right now.
Oh, that's awesome. So, back to little baby Max.
Baby Max.
Uh-huh. They've been together for 5 years. They're having a baby. He wants the name Max. She doesn't love the name, but she hasn't been able to think of another name. All right, okay. Back to the original
story.
That's where we're settled.
Mm-hmm.
She says, we were talking to his sister about baby names.
Well, we're not talking about baby names. It's not going to be a baby forever.
Well, you do have to take that into consideration.
We wanted to call him Babyface. Now, you realize it's going to, at some point, most likely, mature into a boy and then a man.
We were talking to his sister about baby names.
People names.
And I mentioned that her brother had suggested Max.
Max.
That's when she brought up that Max was the name of a cat that he shared with his ex-fiance.
Oh, boy.
And when they broke up, she took the cat and he never saw it again.
Okay.
When we got home, I let him know I am not comfortable naming our first baby after a cat he had with his ex.
Uh-huh.
It felt kind of gross to me.
Yeah.
Well, he told me I'm overreacting. It's just a
name. No, you're a weirdo.
It's just a name, he says.
Well,
and it's not like the cat and the baby will ever meet.
Well, what does that have to do with anything? I hope he never runs into that cat.
Sweetheart, you're overreacting. Max, our baby's never going to meet Max, my former cat.
What does that have to do with anything?
You're being ridiculous. I told him that's not the point.
Clearly.
He shared that cat with his ex. It was like their baby, and it really feels off to me to be naming our baby after their cat.
Yeah, we're going to have to come up with something else.
He told me I'm being overly hormonal, and I need to stop being so sensitive about it.
Oh, I don't know if I would have gone there.
He also said that if I didn't like the name in the first, that I'd never liked the name in the first place.
Okay, well,
so I'm just looking for excuses not to name our baby Max.
I don't like the name then, okay? We'll go with that then.
It ended up being a bit of an argument with me basically saying, I am refusing to consider the name Max anymore, and he's saying that I'm being difficult. No, you're not being difficult. There's a lot wrong here. Sweetheart, it's not like our baby's ever going to meet my former cat. That's not going to happen. What are the chances he runs into the cat named Max?
What are you talking about?
You dumb hormonal woman. With your hormones.
Oh, that's what you want to go with?
You're all crazy from the baby Max in your belly. You stupid woman.
Boy.
The baby's never going to meet the cat. I don't think so. It's probably not going to happen. And if they do run to each other, we'll tell the baby that the cat has a different name.
You're going to get your eyes clawed out.
And he should.
And you're asking for it.
He should. So bizarre. You're being hormonal, by the way, is not the way.
We're going to name the baby three-way. On account of,
Name the baby Lionel.
Lionel's a great name.
That's a great name after Lionel J. Stander, the character actor who was best known for his role as the Majordomo Max on the 1980s mystery television series Heart to Heart.
Duh. It writes itself.
Right? Weren't they doing a remake of Heart to Heart? Whatever happened to that?
Yeah, I think they were going to do that.
There was one they were doing a long time ago where Alan Cumming was going to be. They were doing like a gay Heart to Heart.
Huh.
But then they pulled the plug on that.
Go ahead.
And then I guess they were going to do it again as a gay Heart to Heart. But I don't think they ever got around to casting anybody.
Well, you got to cast somebody if you're ever going to do it.
Lionel Stander won a Golden Globe.
You damn right he did.
For his performance as Max.
That was a lot of heavy lifting.
He really did.
I mean, I think they actually pistol whipped him, the actor, to make it look believable. That was not, in that regard, it's not really fair because that's not acting. that's actual assault. So he could have actually been stripped of that award.
He was a loyal butler, cook, and chauffeur to Jonathan and Jennifer Hart.
Mm-hmm.
He was on the series, and then there was a bunch of movies and made for TV.
Oh, yeah. They made about six of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I wouldn't say I'm close to a completist with the Heart to Heart.
Yeah, you think you've watched them all? Are you a Heart to Heart wizard? You've watched every episode?
Pretty close. Mm. Same thing with I'm pretty confident that I've seen every Dragnet.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a lot.
I know.
Why don't we name the baby Max? The baby that either you or I are going to father with Stephanie Powers in this three-way.
Now, hang on a second, Max.
Wait a minute, Max.
Look, you've been great about driving us around and cooking our food, but there's the line, buddy, and you just crossed it.
Listen, RJ.
He's just calling him RJ? Completely forgetting that the character's name is Jonathan Hart?
I know what happened on that boat.
Whoa. Who wrote this? Who wrote this episode?
Okay, so RJ is married to Jill St. John in real life, right?
In real life.
And then who's Stephanie Powers with?
Don't know.
Who snagged a Stephanie Powers? Because she was with William Holden.
Yeah, that's
for
right.
For the longest time.
That's right. Until he went drinking without a helmet.
I made it look like an accident.
And met the business end of a coffee table. Coffee table kills you.
That's a good run.
Five.
Number five.
Quad Cities has two Long John Silver's locations, and apparently, from what I'm reading here, we are kind of in rarefied territory.
Is that right?
These Long John Silver's are going away all over the United States. Founded in Lexington, Kentucky. When would you guess the very first Long John Silver's opened up?
I would say 1969.
You would be absolutely correct. Yes, the first one opened in Lexington, Kentucky.
69, dude!
Back in 69, they had a massive amount of success throughout the 70s. More than 1,000 different Long John Silver's locations.
When are they ever going to bring back the peg leg?
Explain to me what that is.
They actually had like a little chicken. They had peg legs with a bone in it.
Oh, wow. Because
like now they basically, you'll get those like chicken planks or whatever, those sort of things. No, they actually had an actual chicken bone in it.
That sounds great. So you can pretend you're eating a pirate's leg?
I suppose, yeah, if you're whimsical that way. If you're... I like to pretend I'm a cannibal.
I was reading an article last week about pirate talk, you know, like, arr, and all of that.
Yeah.
That was just invented for a Disney movie.
Well, of course.
They didn't really talk like that. It's just the Disney version of Treasure Island kind of invented that. That's not how any of them talked, ever. And we just accept it like, oh, yeah, no, that makes total sense. That's what they did. 1,000 locations by the end of the 70s. And then in the 80s, Long John Silver's opened up another 500 stores. Fish became more common in the American diet and more expensive to source. And Long John Silver saw a declining profit margin, and investors started to just jump off. The company went private with a leveraged buyout in 1989. They would file for Chapter 11 bankruptcy in 1998, largely the result of accumulated debt under the buyout that they couldn't cover. Despite the fact that they were a pretty popular brand throughout the 90s, in 2002, the corporate food conglomerate known as Yum Foods decided to acquire Long John Silver's. So that's 20 years ago. These are the people that own Taco Bell, and they own Pizza Hut, and they own Kentucky Fried Chicken. And that's why a lot of the Long John Silver's have been kind of turned into what they call Frankenstein restaurants. Where, you know, for instance, at Brady Street, it's a Long John Silver's and it's an A&W root beer.
Right.
That used to just be the one on Brady Street, Long John Silver's standalone, right?
Yes.
And then the remodel took forever.
Yes.
And then that Long John Silver's was closed for remodeling for, it seemed like, 6 or 7 years.
Well, I don't know if it was that long.
Is the one in Moline at South Park, is that also a Frankenstein? Is it also A&W and something else? And Long John Silver's?
Could be.
It has to be, right?
Because there was one on East Kimberly. That was the first one.
Ooh,
back in the day. That's where you would have been able to get your peg leg.
Oh, wow. On East Kimberly? What's there now?
Help
me understand where in East Kimberly I would find that.
Is it the Waterfront Deli?
Oh, wow, okay.
Something like that. It was somewhere in there.
Now, Rock Island had an Arthur Treacher's Fish and Chips, right?
No, not to my knowledge.
Because I'm telling you, I know what those buildings look like, and there's one on 18th Street. I think it's a pawn shop now, or maybe it's a car dealership. I'm telling you that I know what Arthur Treacher's Fish and Chips stores look like.
I understand, but I don't remember.
That has to be what that was.
I don't remember that.
There is a core group of hardcore LJS fans, that's Long John Silver's, that are keeping the restaurant afloat, but they are losing branches all across the country, closing all over the place. And people are complaining that they have to drive now an hour and a half to get to the nearest Long John Silver's. Again, luckily, that's not a problem that we have at the moment here.
See, that's convenient, because then that way you go and you drive that distance, you eat, and then you're sick by the time you get home.
Long John Silver's has...
Oh, sure, it's fine going down, but...
You'll never make it home.
But keeping it there is the big problem. But it does give you enough time to get home.
Charles White is 62 years old, and he describes himself as a lifelong Long John Silver lover.
Oh, boy.
He says here, I hate to sound like the old guy who claims everything was better back in the day.
What kind of acne did you deal with as a young person?
I hate to sound like the old guy who claims everything was better back in the day,
uh-huh.
But I swear Long John Silver's was better
back
in the day. Well, it was one of the most reliable places. I could get a plate of crunchy,
not too greasy, fried fish and fries in 5 minutes for under $10. It's more inconsistent now between the restaurants where I live in Fort Worth, but I have my regular spot and they treat me well.
So are
it's an independent franchise now, which can be a good thing, he says.
So what you're saying is your body doesn't react to it like it used to.
Something happened to the restaurant.
Something happened.
It's not me.
It's not me.
Not that I'm a 60-year-old man in Fort Worth.
That shouldn't be eating this stuff.
Tony Marcos is a 22-year-old who works at a Long John Silver's in Atlanta, Georgia. And he says, we have a lot of regulars. People coming through once a week, even more.
I bet they're quite a clan.
It tends to be an older crowd, too. Yeah. I've been working here for 2 years. And it's a lot sleepier than other fast food jobs I've been in, that's for sure.
Having said that, you don't want to get it lulled into any sort of security there because of all that hot grease.
Tony, who's 22 years old and working at a Long John Silver's for 2 years, says, there's no fast food place like this. It's more interesting to me than working at a McDonald's. I feel like I'll get to tell a story one day when Long John Silver's is gone about how good it used to be. Yeah, maybe. Hold on to them if it's something you want to keep, I guess. Did I tell you what they're doing to...
The cooks used to wear bandanas.
What?
Back in the day.
So like they were pirates?
Yes.
Like Brad Hamilton?
Brad.
Brad Hamilton, I know that dude.
Yeah, but they didn't wear a hat. They didn't wear a hat, a pirate hat. They wore... a bandana.
Really?
Yeah. It was a pretty boss look.
Did you consider maybe applying?
Well, I considered it because I always wanted to be able to then sing the Joe Walsh song.
Which was?
Time to change the batter.
Time to change the batter. You know where the IHOP is? 53rd and Elmore?
Yeah.
Or where it was, I should say.
Okay.
And there's the Wendy's that used to be there. Now the Wendy's has moved down the street on 53rd Street. Yeah. But they've been very busy knocking both of those
close
buildings
enough.
Down.
Yeah. Okay.
Do you know what's going in there?
No.
So where Wendy's used to be is going to be a car wash.
Ah.
Because heaven knows, we need another car wash.
Mm-hmm.
And then where IHOP was,
yes,
that's going to be a chain I had not heard of called... Hawaiian Brothers Island Grill.
Huh.
And boy, does this seem like it's up your alley, Petra. It's food from the islands.
Sure.
The traditional plate lunch. I can get you the Huli Huli chicken or the Molokai chicken.
Do they have Spam?
They do indeed. They do indeed. They have something called Spam Musubi, which is a combo of rice... seared Spam glazed in a teriyaki sauce, wrapped in dried seaweed.
Sure.
Seasoned vegetables, white rice, macaroni salad, pineapple. They got the Pacific Island salad. It just looks like, it looks like Chinese food to me. But that's because it's chicken on top of rice. It looks not unlike the chicken sesame I get from the Hai Chai.
Ooh.
Luau pig, slow roasted kalua pork seasoned with Hawaiian sea salt. And there's also, I guess they have something called Dole Soft Serve.
And then.
Which is big over there. It's fat free, dairy free, gluten free, low calories. That's going to be.
And that opens when?
Later this summer. I thought I read August. I don't know how likely that is.
Okay.
But I think they think they're going to be up and running by the end of the summer.
Gotcha.
Hawaiian Brothers Island Grill. It's not going to be a Long John Silver's. We've got two, and that's enough.
Is it all over, Rock?
I guess so.
I didn't think it'd be like this.
Well, that really was something else. I'm glad I...
Told you.
Glad I listened to it. I'm glad I did it. Thanks for doing it with me, Petra.
Well, thanks for having me.
And we should also thank the good people who have downloaded and subscribed and left reviews.
Aren't
and,
they something?
And listened to it. You really are. Thanks so much for listening to the Top 5 Things podcast. We'll have another one for you. Real soon, until we get a chance to do it for you, hang those kooks.
And you stay classy and safe, Quad Cities.
Come on, Quad Cities, represent. This is for the Quad Cities record spot. Davenport, yeah, we keeping it locked.
Rock Island.
Come on, and it just don't stop. East Moline, yeah, they keeping it hot.
Great show, everybody. Great show.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.